Bibles, we're going back to 2 Timothy. And kind of pick up a little bit. We were here last Sunday. We talked about here Paul's commitment. And oftentimes we read in the scriptures and we see all the hardships and struggles that he endured, and yet the Apostle Paul never seemed to waver in his commitment to the Lord in being a faithful servant and fulfilling the great calling and purpose of God's life. And we saw last time, as we looked at verse number 1, to remember, the Bible said Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And so the Apostle Paul was committed to the Lord because he believed the promise that God had given him of life eternal and life abundant. And so that promise of life. And then notice in verse number 12, for which cause awful suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You remember last time we focused in on that little phrase, that day. And the Apostle Paul was looking forward to a great day, a glorious day, a day promised him that would signify that it was worth it all on that great day. We talked about every believer has a blessed hope in their heart that great day is coming. And that great day encompasses a lot of things. Number one, it encompasses the fact that we'll get to see Jesus face to face. And you and I shall be called up to meet the Lord and be with him forever and forever.
Amen.
That day when all of our tears and sorrows and pains and sufferings and death is all gone forever and forever. And so, we're here today because of the promise of life. I came to Christ when I was a boy because I knew I was a sinner and I was headed to hell. And listen, discovered and heard that Jesus loved and died for me and gave me the promise of life everlasting. And you know what? I will live. And you know what? I'd like to live forever. Hallelujah. And so I believe that promise. If I didn't believe that promise, I'd walk out of here today. All right. And you know what? If you didn't believe that promise, you'd walk out of here too. But I believe that promise that day. That day means a lot to us. If you remember, we focused on the fact that on that day, several things happened. Not only the Lord coming, we call up the Lord in the air and all those precious, wonderful truths, but also that day when everything God has promised us finally lines up to. Right now, we have to live by faith and not by sight. You know what that means? I don't see the promises coming to pass quite yet. We are told by God to live according to principles and we'd be rewarded. Sometimes I'm still waiting on the reward. But I'm going to live the principles because I believe them. And so there's coming a day, hallelujah, when the circumstance, situation of life finally lines up with everything promised. And it's going to hit on that day. And we have, by faith, we have chosen to live according to the principles God has told us about. And so we begin being obedient to the Lord and beginning to follow all the instructions God has given us about how to live, what to do. And God has promised us that if we did, it'd prove a blessing. And you know what? I've already seen a lot of those blessings, but there's more to come. One of these days, my circumstances, my situation will align. God has promised us glorious things, wonderful things. Listen, this is going to take place. But right now, in my current situation, sometimes I look and say, Lord, I don't see it. We're still waiting on Christ. Still waiting on the promise. Some of us have been praying about something for a long time, and we're still waiting on the promise. Okay? We're still waiting on it. And sometimes, listen, we get in situations where we say, Lord, if you really love me, then why? Well, hold on. There's coming a time when all those things will line up together. And every promise fulfilled and every principle lived by are rewarded. And listen, faith will become sight. And that great day is coming. And so the Apostle Paul, you know what? He was committed. No matter what he faced, what he went through, hardships, struggles, trials, beaten, all the things that he had to go through for preaching the gospel of Christ. He believed that day was coming. He was committed. And so we saw Paul testify his commitment, promise of life. Number two, which is seen today, Paul testifies of his commitment according to the provisions that given him. Now listen, I don't know if this occurred to you yet. It hasn't really to me. Maybe you. But we haven't arrived at heaven yet. I don't know if this occurred to you. Okay? We're not there yet. Okay? And we understand that. And the world and all its foolishness and all its darkness thinks one day they'll create a world of heaven on earth.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, the opposite is taking place. And it's going to get worse and worse in these days ahead. Listen, as that occurs to me, I'm glad that God knows where you're at and God knows what you're facing. And God has promised provision. Thank God today we came according to the scriptures and the Bible says that if we would come to the throne of grace, we could ask for mercy and help in time of need. That's exactly what we did for Cynthia just a moment ago. We came to ask for help.
Amen.
Amen.
Help from the Lord. I'm going to tell you, we get a lot of help in the world, but there ain't no help like God's help.
I mean,
he has a way of helping that. You can't find anywhere in all the world because he's God and there's nothing to God but the Lord. And so we come. And so God's made provision for us to come and for help. God has promised the grace, a special strength, ability from God. Now listen, to keep your head above the water. Hallelujah. It looks like you're about to go down for the third time. Thank God we call upon the Lord. God, I need some grace. Just like old Peter, the Lord lifted him up out of the water. And many times, listen, we go through things and we ask God, I got to have some grace. And listen, all of a sudden, a strength, an assurance, a blessedness, a hope fill your soul.
That's right.
And you know what? God says, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. The good grace of God. And then notice something here in verse number 7, if you will. The Bible says, as he writes to the young Timothy, remember we saw Timothy going through something because Paul mentioned in verse number 4, listen to his tears. Timothy had been weeping about something. I don't know if it's affliction, what he's going through. Maybe he was facing some pretty serious persecution. I know he had some health issues because he asked Paul about it. Paul said, take a little wine from your stomach. Not for your drunkenness, but for your son. And so I know he had some issues. Listen, whatever it is, notice here the instructions, encouragement that God gave this young preacher. He said, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of what?
Fear,
but of power and love and sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. The great provision that the Apostle Paul depended on that can't be true. I'm glad today that is we're called by God to live for him. I'm glad God has promised to supply whatever we need for the occasion. And as I look at this, I find that great provision is given us to combat with the spirit of fear. Fear plays a major role in our lives each and every day.
That's right.
It really does. It has a tremendous impact on every aspect of our life. Now, there's a natural fear that God gives us of things that are dangerous, but that's not the fear we're talking about. We're talking about the fear that brings doubt. We're talking about a fear that brings disobedience.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to obey God. Why? Because we're afraid. Listen, a fear that brings defeat. Can I say today that fear is crippling the church today from fulfilling the great call and purpose of God? Let's just be honest about it. Fear is crippling. The Bible said in Proverbs, the fear of man bringeth a snare. It robs you of your liberty you have in Christ. The fear of man. Our failure today, these last days, to stand for truth and testify the gospel is born of the spirit of fear. And it comes from a lack of faith in God. I read the preacher made a statement that I had to ponder a little while. But he said, if a man truly fears God with all his heart, he fears nothing else. That's a mouthful. I'm not chewing that for a little while. Because I know it's true. I'm going to tell you what. It just shows, man, I got a long way to go. I have a long way to go. And so, as you and I think about this, we understand that all of this hinders us severely today. It hinders us in the fullness and abundance of this Christian life. It hinders us in our blessed assurance. It hinders us in our walk with God. It hinders us as a testimony for the gospel of Christ. It hinders us from fulfilling God's purpose and calling for life. And so fear is something that truly brings us snare and hinders us. Hebrews 13 says this, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And so as we wrestle with this matter of fear, God has given a foundation for us to rest upon and stand upon. And that is, the Lord said, I will never leave thee and I will never forsake thee. That's the foundation God gives us for having this power, this assurance, this resolve in keeping our commitment. The power of the Lord, the power of this promise, speaks of his eternal presence. Aren't you glad the Lord is with you always?
Amen.
And that he will never leave you nor forsake you? If you study that word, forsake, it means to withdraw my hand. God said, I will never withdraw my hand from you. That reminds us of John 10. That great chapter about the shepherd and the sheep. And he said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father's gave them is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. What a picture God gives us here of our relationship with the Heavenly Father, and what a great illustration that God has placed us right in his own hand. You see, these things are given us by God to liberate us from the spirit of fear that cripples us. Placed in the Father's hand. And he said, I'll never take that hand away. I'll never forsake them to withdraw the hand. Isaiah 41, that wonderful verse in verse number 10, said, fear not. For I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Notice, I believe, that this has something to do with Timothy's concern. As Paul writes to him and shares with him the afflictions that I've gone through, they say, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of it. Verse 9, he said he saved us and he called us, and this according to his purpose. Listen, he was living in the will of God. God has a purpose and reason for all. And so, Timothy, we're not to be, driven by fear, but by faith. For God has not given us fear, but notice what he's given. He's given us power. God's given us power, a power we don't have, a power that doesn't come from the world. A power that does not come from men. The power of God to be victorious, to be overcomers, to have victory, to be triumphant. This is given us by God. A power, listen, that sustains us. A power that enables us. He said, God has given you power. If you're a saved child of God, he's given you power to face whatever it is you have to face in this life. Isn't that the record we find all through the Bible? We read about the great Bible characters, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Read about, Elijah, Elisha, King David, the prophets, the disciples, the apostles. We find the story that every one of them faced trials, obstacles, problems, circumstances. And what happened? God gave them power. God gave them strength. God gave them ability. They didn't have. And so, listen, we have a promise from God that He gives us power that overcomes. Thank God, today as the believer, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit power to enable us to overcome and victorious. And so, we battle against the fears of life when we understand what God has given you. And listen, if you'll call upon Him, and you'll walk with Him, and listen, you'll put your trust in Him, the Lord will show Himself and give us power. Give us power that we're not defeated. The Apostle Paul knew that power. Whenever he faced the enemies and faced all the obstacles, he experienced the power of God come upon him. And listen, we rejoice. The same spirit of Elijah is the same spirit that indwells in the believer today. I think about Elijah. You know what? When he was driven by the Spirit, he was fearless. When he was in the flesh, he was scared to death. You remember he went up and God sent him to go to the King Ahab, get right in his face and tell him, look, there's going to be no rain, buddy. And he just walked in past the guards, the soldier, the swords, the spear, and all those who defended the king. He walked right up to the king's face. He didn't bring an army. He didn't bring no weapons. He just walked right up to the king, looked in the face, and said, there's going to be no rain here for the blood of the Lord. For 3 years, call your witness. Then he walked out. You know what? Anybody else? The soldiers would have fell on the king and said, off with this man's head. But he got by with it. You know why he got by with it? The power of God was upon him. Power of God. And listen, he walked out of that place. Now we see him later on when he got in the flesh. Remember, somebody sent him a message, Jezebel said. And he got up underneath that juniper tree and he said, Lord, I know better than my fathers. I just want to die. Just want to die. You see what the difference was? It wasn't because Elijah was some superman. It wasn't because, listen, that he had what extraordinary gifts and talents and resources of his flesh. You know what the difference was? It was the power of the Spirit of God. Same thing we read through the Bible character, Samson. Samson, listen, was not no muscle-bound guy. He was a regular-looking fellow. And listen, the things he did in his battles, the power of God came upon him. And listen, hand-to-hand combat, and slew 1,000 men. Every time I think about that, if I was 999, I'd quit. You don't see 900 men fall. You know what I'm bailing on this one. I'm bailing on this one. But anyway, 1,000 men thought he was going to be the one, evidently. And he slew him. But you know what? Without the Spirit of God, they bound him up, tied him up, poked his eyes up, and mocked him, made him look like a fool. You know what the difference was? The power of God. Mm-hmm. Power of God. He said, preacher, I know about it. Neither was anybody else. What made him different was the power of God. You see, as we battle this spirit of fear, God has given us a power. If we have trusted Him, call upon Him. And then notice He said that God not only gave a power, but also blood. What can separate us from the love of Christ? The Bible said, nailed all these things and wore the cockles to him that loves us. For I am persuaded in death or life, nor angels for principalities, for power, for things present or things to come. No height, no depth, any other creature shall be able to separate from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to tell you something. God loves you all the time.
Amen.
And God's love abides with us. Listen. And you know what? Here's the truth. Here's the promise of the love of God. That no man, no enemy, nothing, I can do anything to you except by the permission of the Father and only if it were proved to be for our good. God built a hedge around you. You know that? You probably don't know how many times God's already spared your life. There have been a few times all over. There have been times God spared your testimony because God showed up. The love of God. The love of God. God knows exactly how many here and your hand. And what did he say? He's placed us in the Father's hand. Nothing can ever separate from the love of God. Nothing. You see, God had given us the spirit of fear. That wasn't God did. No. The fear that brings doubt and defeat, disobedience, discouragement. God didn't give you that kind of fear. No, God has given you something to sustain you, to overcome that fear. God has given you power. God has given you love. His love is always there. Never be separated. I don't always understand why God permits what he does. But I go back to Calvary and I'm reminded he loves me. He loves me. One day, I'll say amen, hallelujah, when I struggle with it today. One day, I'll speak to you, praising God, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Sometimes I have to do it on credit today. I didn't feel like doing it.
Amen.
But he's worthy. Praise him. I listen to the love of God. And then notice, he said, a sound mind. You know what? The Word of God is true. It's true. I don't apologize for it. Though the culture today despises this book, and though the intelligence of the world, listen, condemns the truth that it teaches. But one thing I know, the Word of God is right and it's true. It will be proven. I know this, Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the Lord, he's the King. I know he's the way, the truth, and the life. He saved my soul, changed my life, redeemed me, has given me joy and peace and blessing and assurance. And so therefore, I will not apologize for the truth. The world called me crazy. The world says you're mad, you lost your mind. No, the truth is, because of Christ, I found it. Now I have a sound mind. Now I'm not deceived. I'm not in darkness. I'm not in foolishness. I'm not in the way of the world, which but God said will be proven to be foolishness. In fact, today I stand upon what's right, what's good, and what's true. The world today calls good, evil, good. I know what good is. Good is God. Having this and everything God has spoken is right, it's good, it's true. Having it will bless your life, it will change your life, it will save your life, it will save your soul, it will save your marriage, it will save your home, it will save your children, it will save your job, it will save your integrity, it will save your name. Listen, the Word of God is right, it's good, it's true. And so therefore, we don't make any apologies. We have a sound mind. Amen. I heard a great message, I think I mentioned it the other day, at the Preacher's Fellowship, when they said that Jesus, the Apostle Paul, they called him mad, just crazy. And the message was on, be a crazy Christian. Everybody think you're crazy. The truth is, you know what the truth is? You have a sound mind.
Amen.
It's the world's crazy.
Yeah.
It's the world has a reprobate mind. It's the world, listen, who lives according to insanity. They keep kind of stuff over and over again, don't work. We know what works. Amen. We know the Lord Jesus what works. We know salvation works. We know the Word of God works. And listen, we give a testimony of how God has saved us, redeemed us from the path of destruction. And so we don't love. I'm kind of like that maniac of Gadara. The nude dude, the rude dude. Listen, came out of the graves, crazy man. Wild, terrorizing the neighborhood. He almost culturally acceptable in our day, but anyway, in those days he was crazy. Maniac kid. And listen, but thank God when he came to Jesus and Jesus cast out him devil. Where we find him, the Bible said he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, fully clothed in his right mind. Hallelujah. I'm glad today I have a right mind, a sound mind. Now listen, as I consider that he's given us a sound mind, and so we don't have to be afraid, we don't have to cower, nothing back down. Why? Because it's right, it's good, and it's true, and it works. It's the power of God, the salvation. And so we don't go around apologizing for it. No, as a matter of fact, we stand up for it because it's right. Because you're not thinking about Paul's commitment. And he relates the fact that, sure, There's a lot of conflict out there. There's a lot of opposition. It's a warfare. But he said, listen, that spirit of fear that brings doubt, disobedience, and defeat, that didn't come from God. God is giving you what you need to overcome. He said, listen, God gave you power. God gave you power. You can make a difference. You can. Not because of your ability, it's because God's with you. Now listen, God has given you a love that you'll never be separated from. He'll be with you constantly, and he loves you. He won't allow things unless it serves a purpose for your good and his glory. And listen, he said, I give you a sound mind. Now listen, you're walking the world, folks. You're walking in the darkness, walking the sea. The world's going crazy and mad and foolish and all kinds of things. You're the one I place with a sound mind. And so we don't have to, Kyle. We don't have to be afraid. And so as you and I consider these things, you know, it's a call to commitment. It's a call to faithfulness. It's a call to serving the Lord. Listen, we realize today one of probably the greatest thing that hinders our being a faithful witness and testimony for God is the fear of man. Let's just be honest. Shake your head.
That's right.
It's the fear of man. Really, it's just the fear of man. It keeps our mouths quiet and silent. And while we don't really speak up to Jesus, the fear of man, I'm taking it. We're coming from God. No. If you're not trusting the Lord, and as we commit ourselves to him, the Apostle Paul said, listen, not only that day is coming, and so my commitment's firm because I know that day's coming, but he said, this day, God promised me what I need. He promised me that he would give me a power, that he would give me the assurance of that love always, and he's given me a sound mind. And listen, I know it's true. I know it's true. It's true. And so, listen, in the time of these last days, in the time that we as the church, listen, stand up for Jesus. I mean, in the time of these days that you and I be more bold and courageous. Listen, our faith for the Lord. Ain't there really time to listen to have more concern and care for lost souls? Isn't it time to enlist in the Lord's army and be faithful, be true, and listen, be true to our calling and our purpose, and listen, just go ahead and confess it. I spent a good time before this message at my own altar, and Lord, I want to be free from any of that. I want the boldness and courage that comes only from you.
Amen.
Because, Lord, I know you will use me and you will give me power and make a difference. Sometimes we say to the preacher, I wouldn't know what to say. I was, hey, listen, God put things in your mouth that you'll open. God put things in your mouth that will impact the lives of people. If you'll open your mouth, let God use you. Just pray. Get your heart right, get clean, ask to be filled with the Spirit of God, put something in. You know what? There are many people who could testify today that it was a statement or a phrase made by somebody that they couldn't get away from. May have been a preacher, may have been a friend, may have been a family member. They made a statement that really penetrated your heart. You know what? That wasn't them, that was God in them. God's given me power. God's given you power. And God give you his love. Can't nobody run to you. It has to pass through God first. It has to pass by God first. And this, if he says no, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. Because he loves you. And God give you a sound mind. And you live in a world of darkness and deception. And if God has redeemed you, listen, from that broad road to hell and separated you and filled you with the light of truth. And if the church don't tell it, then we're going to hear it. And so, it's a day in which we desperately need hope. Say, Lord, I'm going to be true to this commitment. And I'm a saved child of God. I know the truth. Lord, I'm an ambassador for Christ. I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a witness, the testimony for the gospel of saving power. God, help me. I want to be free from that fear.
Amen.
I want to have that courage, that boldness.
Amen.
To stand up for Christ, stand up for the gospel, and to have a care and compassion for the lost souls around me.
Amen.
Let's pray.